Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back, and I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving, regardless of how you celebrated it. We all have our choices, but I can't emphasize enough. As a matter of fact, it's brought up a couple of conversations with feedback, because today's Feedback Friday. I got a little bit of heat because, I mean, there's a lot of people that are we're trapped. We are trapped in a box that we have our football entertainment, the parade, whatever those traditions are for entertainment, feasting, and if you want to call it gluttony. I mean, there are cases where people absolutely just overdo it. And the question is that the real spirit of this constitutional republic, which is why we shared with you George Washington's proclamation? There's probably nothing that really highlights just how sacred the forming of this government was, and how our framers really recognized that, and how unanimously, along with George Washington, they looked at this constitutional, hybrid republic, or this hybrid constitutional republic, as a benefit and a blessing, as well as a gift of inspiration from the divine hand of providence. So the question I have, so those of you who, have cogitated, have ruminated over this, what am I doing? Because I believe that there are those that sat around the table, and observed the day and go, I hate to admit it, but GR's right. Let me ask you this. If you're a person that believes we need to start turning ourselves, it's not the government's job to turn and mandate, right? We the people have to do it. And so we the people in our personal lives have to start doing those things that actually exude and embody, that spirituality and reverence towards our Creator. And so how much more reverent can we be by setting aside a day of the year for one very specific thing of thanks? I realize, folks, there's not a lot of liberties to celebrate, but the fact is, if we had full compliance to the Constitution, there would be plenty to celebrate. Kind of that simple, right? So what would happen? What would happen if all of a sudden there was a huge, on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, instead of a huge bump in sales that moved corporations and industries into the black, there would be a huge bump in taking care of the needy? Whether that is on Thanksgiving, you're actually going out and performing labor, or doing without, whatever it is, we need to start sanctifying this nation. And that one day a year, to me, is that important. And so have your feast this Friday, or today, or I mean this Sunday. Traditionally in our family, and I think traditionally in America, Sunday, big, extravagant meals on Sunday are not uncommon. I know that some people, because it's the Lord's Day, make it very simple, crock pot or what have you. But one way or the other, take the time to enjoy the family as a staging point to get ready to center our lives around Christ. And I mean center our lives around Christ, not centering our lives around the corporate dollars and the deals that they want to fling at you. What's interesting is, they're constantly losing margin, so they have to sell more in volume. Why don't they just give us an honest price in the first place? right? I mean, if you look at what they sell through the year at the regular markup, and then they sell so much more at the discount, why? Because it's all about profits. They don't care. You know, those low prices are all about their bottom line, clearing inventory and so forth. Anyway, I can go on and on and on. What I also want to give you some feedback on, driving up to the county commissioners, I had a great conversation with a grassroots activist, the guy that's recording this for us. And I'm expecting, hopefully, that video will be done by this weekend. Excuse me. And the conversation, we had lots of conversations, and just because we're old friends. And as we were talking about COVID and the vaccines, you know, we both completely agree. I mean, if there's any evil, a dark cloud of evil that has truly fell upon the earth, it is the fact that we, mankind, have been working, and this is an international effort, right? Because the COVID experimentation and development and engineering first took place here in America, because China at that point hadn't gotten there. They weren't there technologically. I mean, Clinton was putting them on steroids and expanding their technology and their access and so forth. I want you to understand, Clinton did more for the Chinese Communist Party than Mao. And if you don't believe me, go look at what he did with the fact that he gave them missile and satellite and, guidance technology from Loral and some of the other stuff, the nuclear programs. If you look, go on our website on the Red State Talk Radio podcast page. And if you go to the very bottom, there's a link there, and it is a congressional record of Winterm and Curry when they were sitting in front of Congress in 1996, exposing a timeline and money that Clinton received from the Chinese Communist Party. And folks, if you look at how much money that was, I mean, wow, I mean, it was nothing. It was nothing compared to money today, where they're spending trillions of dollars. And if you look at the cost and the impact of that technology given, you'd think he would have really made a huge ransom. He only charged what he minimum needed to be able to win his reelection. This was all about his reelection, so that he could continue doing what was necessary for the globalist agenda to prepare for Bush to come in. So, to be clear, when we look at this man-made COVID virus, and then we look at the man-made vaccines, there's a movie out there called Died Suddenly. I've not watched it, but I understand the underlying tenets and what they're proving. And what I was told by my good friend when we were driving back, he made this assertion. I don't know how accurate it is, but I believe this guy. This guy doesn't make things up. And so in 2021, or in the past year, I should say, actually the past year, from 2021, they have captured for a 12-month period of time how many people from ages, I think it's 21 or 18 to 34. And it was over 60,000, almost 70,000 kids have died in 1 year's time frame. And people go, huh, wow, that's terrible. That's a tragedy. Here's another little fact for you. Go look at how many young men died, just young men died during the Vietnam War from the mid-60s or early 60s to 1974. That was a 9-year war, if I remember correctly. So from 65 to 74. It was less than 60,000, folks. In warfare, bad guys shooting and trying to kill us. Just so you understand the magnitude of what has been slapped just upon us in America. This is not talking about what's going on in the world. And my friend, so this all started with this very unique comment. He basically says, you know, he said, I really feel sorry for those people who were forced into taking that vaccine. Absolutely, his heart just is, you know, broken over that. But those people who dived into and loved the idea that the government was there to save them, he says he hopes they get what they deserve. And he says he really hopes that things go the way they plan, because what that means is they've basically killed off a lot of progressives. You know, all those people that have taken the vaccine and said, proudly bragging that I'm boosted, I'm up to date, and are demanding that the rest of us get vaccinated. Folks, this is how dark and evil the times we are living in. And it's not that he was being dark or anything, but bottom line, most people did not know and don't realize that, you know, people and government are actually trying to kill us. They're trying to get our population down to 500 million. You don't believe me? Look at the Georgia Guidestones. Those things have been around for decades. That was the plan. They're sticking to the plan. And so, like I've told you, China and many of the other points in the world that have lots of people, they don't have a people problem, or as far as a lack of. They have an overabundance of. And getting rid of many would be okay. Fighting wars would be okay. Speaking of, looks like I was right. Get ready. I think we're heading into war. We'll be right back after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, folks. So the only reason, just to be clear, the only reason we're not at war right now with China, why we're not slinging gunfire and missiles and artillery and invasions and everything else, the only reason is they're not ready yet. I've said this for several years. I've said that for several years now, China is pursuing direct conflict with the United States. They will have a direct conflict because, bottom line, the tea leaves are telling us, folks, they want America. They want to be able to land here. They want to be able to control our resources. I mean, we are so abundant in resources that it would be the epitome of opulence for them to come in here and be able to use America strictly as their agricultural support system, as well as their infrastructure support. Look at all the coal we have. They don't care about the pollution. They don't care about its effects on people. They don't care. All they care about is domination. And so they are slowly preparing themselves. And as a matter of fact, all indications are they're getting closer and closer. The only thing they don't have is they don't have the experience and the expertise. Now, let me point out the Civil War. So the Civil War, if we look at the northern states against the southern states, the only reason why the southern states were able to be successful is there's actually two reasons. One reason was the spirit of the war. The reason why people were fighting, people weren't motivated over the first 2 years because it was just basically trying to force people to be somewhere where they didn't want to be there anymore. You know, that was the only reason that was being articulated. Lincoln was saying, hey, they can't succeed. They can't secede, I mean. And so that's not true. They could secede. The fact of the matter is, when Lincoln changed the war about slavery, obviously that changed the spirit of the North in their fighting. To be honest, the disparity between the North and the South was expertise. If you look at all the generals and all those who had war experience and so forth, the South clearly had an advantage, which is why they kicked the North's butt left and right, which is why the North couldn't, you know, because they didn't have the inspiration, they were just going through the numbers. They had all sorts of advantages because they had manufacturing. They had the ability to do things that the South couldn't do. They had better lines of communication, which is why if you look at how it all played out, there was never an attempt by the South to seize Washington, D.C. It was not a civil war. The South literally just wanted to be by themselves. They wanted to take, but the problem was, if you really look at it, with Virginia being in the secession state, then Washington, D.C. being on the border would have placed Washington, D.C. right there on hostile territory. And so that would have been problematic. I get that strategically. But to be clear, folks, the big advantage that we have is the millions of hours of expertise within, and I mean actually billions, because if you look at how many million folks we have in the military and how many of them have actually served in, you know, all sorts of conditions, battle and so forth, deployments and so forth, I'm here to tell you the Chinese, they may be manned, they may be equipped to actually go toe-to-toe with us. They know they don't have that experience. They just finally, for the first time, had a combined exercise drill with China. Or not China, Russia. This is a first, folks. This happened this year. So where are we? What the heck are we going to do? We have to be very clear. This is why foreign policy, needs to be going forth from America to tell Taiwan, have a vote. Go and have an election, and if you are serious about your autonomy and sovereignty, then you need to consider becoming a state in the United States so you can maintain that sovereignty as a sovereign state. And this, you know, look at the Constitution. These are the things that you'll be guaranteed and so forth. And it's the same thing with Hong Kong. It's the same thing with Nepal. It's the same thing with Crimea. All of these states that are being harassed, Ukraine. They have to do away with their development of weapons and those types of things, or at least have some reasons for what they're doing. But you know, coming in to protect them because they're doing our dirty business, that's not a reason. It's all about sovereignty. It's all about liberty. It's all about individual liberty and individual sovereignty as well. So anyway, I need to get into the resolutions, but there's a couple of other things I need to get into. And as a matter of fact, there's lots of people that are going through this Biden trying to ban guns and all of this, and why we've just instantly had, you know, a few big incidents or significant incidents when people are dying from gunshots from Americans because they're literally out of their mind, they're unstable, then, you know, people go, well, we've got to get rid of guns. Instead of actually, you know, dealing with the real problem, like these insane individuals, you know, there's an argument to be made, because when we start looking at the lifestyle of all of these individuals, hardcore progressives, people that have, technically, there's an argument to be made that a hardcore progressive is a psychopath. And what that means is they would be more likely to be willing to just commit mass murder instead of somebody that actually looks at life as sacred and not ever wanting to take life or compelling people to do this. This is why we go through the, you know, the title of liberty or the scale of liberty, as well as Billy Graham's, you know, commitment to freedom and commitment to communism. So just to be clear, if you want to know what to do, because we do have this petition on the 12th Amendment, we also have a bill, and I'm going to be posting this, so I'm going to be moving the current article for the jurisdiction of constitutional limitation of the federal government, or the constitutional jurisdiction limitation of the federal government. The article that is on our constitutional perspectives page, that will be moved over to the articles page, or the constitutional articles page. And so what we're going to do is we're going to put the bill, the language of the bill that we had in Wyoming, that we're expecting this exact same language to go forward this year, as well as the outline of what this committee will do. So there's going to be two articles that we're going to upload for you. I'm telling you this because if you want to understand what you can start doing about not just this, because it's not just about guns, folks, it's about the entire Constitution. We need to get the state legislatures to do their job in holding the federal government accountable. It's the same thing with your counties. If you live in a blue state, or you live in a state where the state government is running rickshaw over your liberties and so forth, then all you have to do is get your counties to do the exact same thing. Get your counties to basically accept this type of legislation where they embody the concept of constitutional compliance. Now, two more things before we just move on. One more thing is the Germans are now making a call to call and declare the Russian famine back in the 1930s, the Russian famine, genocide. And what they're doing is they're setting the stage with what Russia is doing today in their strategy against Ukraine with reducing food, because that has global implications now, folks. And it's the same thing with their effects on energy and these other things. If we start looking at how nations are behaving and hurting other nations, see, America should not be meddling and doing anything in that neighborhood or in that vein. We have no business manipulating and those types of things, and we need to cease and desist. Our only manipulation should be, if you want to be a free state, if you want to be a free people, then you have to take over your state by having an election and creating a single sovereign state that wants liberty to become a state in the United States. That's the path forward, folks. That ends wars, and that gets everybody under the same umbrella and without having any agendas. We have to put aside our agendas. There's no special interest in the world. There's nothing the world can offer the United States. Really. Cheap labor, we don't need cheap labor. We just need a good, solid economy. Anyway, moving forward, I wanted to talk about the county commissioners meeting and some of the details of this. And what I'm waiting for is I'll wait for the video. I really do want to talk about this, but I've already gone through pretty much half the show and haven't gotten into the resolutions. I just want you to know it was a very successful meeting. We're going to be having some follow-on meetings. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to create a series of a conversation with your county commissioners. The whole point of this series is to prove what they have the same authority over your state constitution and over your state public servants just like this, your state legislature has over the federal government and the federal public servants. We have the power. It's distributive, and it is down at your county. Just imagine how great it would be seeing some of these blue states actually up in turmoil because the red counties aren't taking their crap anymore. To be clear, we're setting the case, and this will be going out in about a week, over the Enabling Acts. When you look at the Enabling Acts, who are the parents or who are the parties to your state constitution? If you say we the people, then you're not going to be correct. The parties were the counties and the county representatives. Remember, we're a representative government. So who are those people representing? The people or the county? See, counties are perpetual. People are not. So over the course of the past century, that who they were truly representing was the county, not the people. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so when we left off, we kind of cruised through Madison's report on the Virginia resolutions. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pick back up from paragraph 22 and kind of go through the rest of this so that we can close on this. And what I'm trying to impress upon you is Madison is making the case here because we just went into break and I was telling you that the counties have the same obligation. Look at the federal compact and everything that Madison is talking about. Your state constitution is a compact, even though it has the smacks of this concept of democracy. It does not, cannot. We're Republican forms of government, and the government that created the state, not the people, it wasn't a democracy, the government that created your state government were your counties. This is why you need to look up your Enabling Act for your particular state. What I'm asking, and I need to make a point of this and ask this on a regular basis, we need every state's Enabling Act into a single repository. And so I'm asking you, the one thing you can do to help us and help this cause, because you will prove that every state in this union was created by its counties. There was never a point in time, at least I can't imagine that the Hawaii and Alaska was conducted, the creation of their constitution was conducted by a democratic form where they actually had, you know, all the people getting involved like they have down in, what is it, Chile, where they're trying to rewrite their constitution, and it's complete mayhem, complete mayhem. So paragraph 22 of Madison's report. From this view of the resolution, it would seem inconceivable that it can incur any just disapprobation from those who, laying aside all momentary impressions and recollecting the genuine source and object of the federal constitution, shall candidly and accurately interpret the meaning of the General Assembly. If the deliberate exercise of dangerous powers, palpably or blatantly withheld by the Constitution, could not justify the parties to it in interposing even so as far as to arrest the progress of evil and thereby to preserve the Constitution itself, as well as to provide for the safety of the parties to it, there would be an end to all relief from usurped power and a direct subversion of the rights specified or recognized under the state's constitutions, as well as a plain denial of the fundamental principle on which our independence itself was declared. I say, and I'm going to repeat the same thing, that is equally applicable to your state constitution and your counties. Your counties need to take a stand in your state. Before we can get the states to do their job, we have to get them to understand that job, and we have to get them back into place in the constitution. There's too many state constitutions, and there's every state government and constitution is a violation of the principles of their own constitution. There are many powers that have been inserted into that that have never been delegated by the counties. It's all been done since then by democracies. There is an absolute requirement that every state needs to really consider a constitutional convention in hammering out what their constitutions really should be. What powers did you really delegate? I'm going to tell you something. You didn't really delegate powers to them to be able to do medical, you know, controls and those types of things. It's one thing for them to control businesses to some degree for taxation and that type of regulation, but not to control market spaces. I don't believe anywhere where any state has been granted delegation over the absolute control over an entire market and industry and the science of it. So going on, he says, and this is the interesting part, because we covered this on Tuesday. So we covered this on Tuesday because this is where he basically replies to or responds to the insinuations that all things that are, you know, questionable need to go to the judiciary. It was objected by the other states and says, hey, the states don't have any authority. The Supreme Court does. See, they already were creating their cabal by creating a consolidated government and assuming all powers that they didn't have. Do you understand that? They were trying to consolidate. These other states were willing to do that. This is a bad sign, folks. This is why you have to start, you know, when you got states that are willing to do things that are absolutely unconstitutional, the only way to correct that is by your counties. You have to understand this. The counties have the authority to force your state government. You just need a majority of them. You only need a majority. And then this is where you can actually start waging warfare against them. Because with common law courts, common law grand juries, and so forth, you can actually start creating warrants for the arrest of any of these people that are tyrants, such as your governor, your attorney general, and so forth. Especially when you've got declarations of, you know, crimes. I mean, And we're not talking about, you know, kangaroo courts. We're actually talking about an open court that proves legitimately how these individuals are violating their oath of office in the Constitution. And like I say, reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And as everybody starts looking at it, it becomes irrefutable that these people overstepped their bounds. Jay Inslee is one of those, as well as Whitmer and Cuomo, all of these people. So anyway, this is what was said. But it is objected that the judicial authority is to be regarded as the sole expositor of the Constitution in the last resort. And it may be asked for what reason the declaration by the General Assembly, supposing it to be theoretically true, could be required at the present day in so solemn a manner. On this objection, it might be observed, first, that there may be instances of usurped power from the forms of the Constitution would never draw within the control of the judicial department. Secondly, that if the decision of the judiciary be raised above the authority of the sovereign parties to the Constitution, the decisions of the departments are not carried by the forms of the Constitution before the judiciary must be equally authoritative and final with the decisions of that department. But the proper answer to this objection, see, you gotta look at it this way, folks. When the Supreme Court makes rulings to say something is now constitutional, bypassing the authority of the states, they have actually put the Constitution up on end every time they do that. But the proper answer to the objection is that the resolutions of the General Assembly relates to those great and extraordinary cases in which all the forms of the Constitution may prove ineffectual against infractions dangerous to the essential rights of the parties to it. The resolution supposes that dangerous powers not delegated may not only be usurped and executed by the other departments, but that the judicial department also may exercise or sanction dangerous powers beyond the grant of the Constitution, and consequently that the ultimate right of the parties to the Constitution to judge whether the compact has been dangerously violated must extend to violations by one delegated authority as well as by another, by the judiciary as well as the executive or the legislature. However true, therefore, it may be that the judicial department is, in all questions submitted to it by the forms of the Constitution, to decide in the last resort, this resort must necessarily be deemed the last in relation to the authorities of the other departments of the government. What he just said is that it may be true that they are the last resort over things that reside within the Constitution. What that means is those things that arise under the Constitution, when it comes to things that they are doing that does not arise or are violations to those things, there are not delegated powers, they are violating those powers, then it can't apply to them. Not in relation to the rights of the parties to the constitutional compact, from which the judicial as well as other departments hold their delegated trust. On any other hypothesis, the delegation of judicial power would annul the authority delegating it, and the concurrence of this department with the others in usurped powers might subvert forever and beyond the possible reach of any rightful remedy the very Constitution which all were instituted to preserve. Okay, so that's where we left off. Now, 26 is, you know, we're almost done, right? There's only two more paragraphs. So 26, he starts off with well, we're going into break, so we'll start off the 26 when we come back from the break. I hope you're starting to realize, and I hope you're maintaining this context to what Madison is saying about the states with the federal compact is equally applied to the counties today and the state compact, because remember, it was the counties that created that, and the counties made some serious mistakes in doing so. We'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so moving forward in paragraph 26, the truth declared in the resolution being established, the expediency of making the declaration at the present day may safely be left to the temperate consideration and candid judgment of the American public. It will be remembered that a frequent recurrence to fundamental principles is solemnly enjoined by most of the state constitutions, and particularly by our own, as a necessary safeguard against the danger of degeneracy to which republics are liable, as well as other governments, though in a less degree than others. And a fair comparison, well, so he says, though in a less degree than others, he's referring to our Constitution being in less degree of that liability and that vulnerability of corruption. And so I think that he understood that there were some problems, but we're 200 plus years beyond, and there's no reason why we haven't learned our lessons. The problem is that we've been indoctrinated not to understand these things. So don't worry, folks. We can actually make these things even better than what, and there's no doubt in my mind, by clinging to the, like he says, by clinging to those principles. The fundamental principles that made this nation and these states what they were. All we've got to do is go back to that. So anyway, and a fair comparison of the political doctrines not unfrequent at the present day, which characterized the epoch of our revolution and which form the basis of our Republican constitutions, will best determine whether the declaratory recurrence here made to those principles ought to be viewed as unseasonable and improper or as a vigilant discharge of an important duty. The authority of the constitutions over governments and of the sovereignty of the people over constitutions are truths which are at all times necessary to be kept in mind, and at no time perhaps more necessary than at the present. This is why I go back to our state and our state constitution and our counties. The first thing that you need to do is you need to start having a dialogue and an open discussion as to why we created a county government and did not create a constitution. Why is it that we actually just created and delegated powers to a state government when we actually had our county government first? We need to put the cart behind the horse, because the way the federal government did it, because they didn't understand and they didn't realize that government was going to grow to a point where counties became far more integral and states became even more involved in every aspect of our lives. We don't have a centralized government design. Our government design is distributive. The power is to be closest to the people. It's not supposed to be in your state house where they're determining everything. They should be supporting the needs of the county, just like the federal government should be supporting the needs of the state and not intermingling and basically causing mischief. I cannot emphasize enough how if we created constitutions for our counties and actually reformed our county governments to where we actually had an executive and we actually had, you know, our own, you know, little legislative body, is three enough? And what we really need to look at and consider is, what is the cost of this? There are plenty of places where people just want to make a lot of money. There are other places where you could create a real limited government, folks, to where they don't do anything. And what we'll find is we need a balance, because bottom line, the states that actually have really open governments, that's where corporations and that's where other things can happen, where the state doesn't have the power to protect the people. And or the state doesn't have the power to do the few things that it needs to do. So this is why we need to learn those same lessons and understand the energies of government and the importance and the principles of what those governments need to do. And so even if you need to look at, because let me just say this, we can easily look at some states, and I'll probably use Wyoming and or the Dakotas as a really good example of this, because there are some counties that have minimal population to where they just won't have the ability to actually have a good county government at the cost of the government. And so all of the counties have to agree, and all of the people of Wyoming need to agree that having a good government as well as a good militia in every county is essential to the security of a free state. I'm going into the Second Amendment, and these same principles apply to good government and safe government to ensure that government can actually do what it needs to. Remember, we had problems under the Articles of Confederation because each state was left to itself, and too many states were so vulnerable that they were so adamant in getting something different than the Articles of Confederation, which is why of quite a few of the states, like Georgia, Delaware, Maryland, and so forth, New Jersey, these states rubber-stamped that Constitution because it was so much better. It gave them some equal representation, some safeguards. It was better. And the same thing with the counties. So we're only cracking through the surface here. And peeling the onion back, you'll start seeing that by allowing you to have good county governments that can actually do things for the people, this would actually give you the ability to control how much your state can really do for you. Do you really want your state to administer medical care? I was going to include Medicaid, Medi-Cal, and Medicare and all of those different medis out there. But do you really want your state government to be involved in that ability, or not your state, but your county? Do you want your county government to have that, to do that? Or do you just want them to make sure that you have access to, you know, affordable types of health care? And what is the best way to do that? And I'm telling you right now, there are awesome ways of doing that, but it has to be done through a different mechanism than through the profit model. you got to remember that America's healthcare system prior to the 1950s was handled by the compassionate services institutions within America. Who was that? It was the religious sects and institutions. There were some community institutions that did this, but still, it was not government. This is why we actually had awesome care, because the sanctity of life was sacred, and they fought for everybody to make sure they had an opportunity to the next breath or what have you. But today, well, you know, technically, you know, your care and giving you that is going to cost too much. Well, nothing should be free. And as a matter of fact, there is merit in saying, hey, look, you know, this is self-inflicted. Why should we have to pay for this? Right? But it's another thing if you've got a disease that wasn't your fault. Anything that was not your fault, shouldn't we have shouldn't we have the compassion of making sure that everybody who's inflicted has as much of a fighting chance as possible? Those people, I was one of them. I mean, anybody that has drank and, you know, drank badly, or I should say to a point where drunkenness and that type of stuff, I was putting my life in danger. What makes me even remotely eligible to be able to get a liver if I would have continued that life and destroyed my liver? Like David Crosby. Are you kidding me? He should not have been in the pool for being able to do that. Folks, when we actually remove, because this is where we go down this path of removing the consequences of sin. And you've heard me rant and rant about this. We've got to stop doing that. We have to understand that there are consequences, and it's one thing to be compassionate, but I think that it really begs the question, as a society, how compassionate are we going to be in basically subsidizing bad behavior? Because that's what we're talking about. Or are we subsidizing the elitists? Maybe the elitists should actually hold the tougher row. And what I mean by that is maybe because they were an example, because they were out there doing that, that, you know, I forget the guy's name, Cleveland. He was a Black Panther. He went on the lam, and I don't have enough time. I've got less than a minute. And this gentleman was actually on the lam in Cuba and other communist countries, and he willingly came back and served his time in prison because he realized he was freer in prison in America than he was walking down the street in any of these communist nations. And he dedicated the rest of his life to helping people understand that communism is just the most evil form that a person could live under, that having individual liberty and individual sovereignty is paramount, is of the utmost importance for humans, for all people who love the freedom to do what they want and have the responsibility to take, you know, charge and accountability for their actions and so forth. Folks, we're going to get into our next episode. We're going to be getting into Madison's notes on nullification. Now, so we've gone through this whole process of proving how interposition is the only way forward. And now what we're going to do is make the irrefutable argument that nullification is the wrong path, because Madison is going to put that to asunder. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.